How do those 2 points connect?
I don't know. I have no idea.
To the mining in any way, shape, or form.
They connect because that's her sentence.
Okay.
Let's go.
Brickcoin is episode 127. Welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
What are you asking? What are you waiting for when people are like, welcome back, everyone? Was to go, oh, great to be back, Molly.
And for the crowd to
join. Yeah, people at home will be like, hey, Molly.
All right, okay.
Yeah, cool. Let's go. Agenda. you really threw me off there when you asked what I was. Traders forecast Fed rate. Wasabi wallet creators discontinue their CoinJoin services. Prosecutors reportedly investigating Block Inc. Jack Dorsey's block is DCAing into Bitcoin every month. GB News had an XRP Army member on to talk about Bitcoin. Robinhood gets world notice from SEC, and Bitcoin reaches 1 billion transactions. And a dear Dave.
Cracking.
Price. Last episode's price was $57,000.
Was it really?
57.
According to this, yeah.
Up 8.85%.
So we're up.
Currently at 62.
Okay.
Very nice. Okay.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's it on the price. Yep. Right. First point then. Traders forecast Fed rate most likely in... Fed rate cut most likely in November.
I've largely fed up with traders forecasting. It's all bull. They forecast it left or right. They forecast within 5 minutes of each other. They just literally.
I shared that, didn't I? And
it's just annoying. Traders forecast it.
One tweet was it forecast it for October and then it changed to September. I think.
We've got November and then
September. So what are they doing?
The tweet's still up there.
It's the same guy.
Is it just the same?
Is it within an hour?
7:02 p.m. 7:50 p.m.
Within 15 minutes.
Yeah, fed up of it. Don't care. Don't believe it. It's all garbage. Crap content.
Yeah, I mean,
I think these...
You have to put weight in some respects because people put money where their mouth is.
Well, who's this guy? Traders. Taking a little survey of traders? Or what?
No, I think he's taking theirs in like market longs and shorts in terms of what people... So it's people putting money where their mouth is in terms of whether it's going to get caught. So that's what people use for estimations, I think, most of the time.
Right.
So,
but their positions are changing all the time.
Yeah, clearly.
I've seen that comment, the top comment, why even forecast rate cuts if they're always wrong?
Yeah, it's just garbage.
It's people guessing. Everyone loves a guessing game, don't they? So.
Why does it make news, though?
Because rates are massive in, like, so play a huge part in global markets. No, the forecasting is seems to be wrong, but it's important to know when it's happening if you can get some gauge on it. So it's a huge indicator.
It's also speculation. These are traders, don't forget. So they want market movements for trading purposes. So their speculation of interest rates rising, for example, might have impacts on markets elsewhere that they're then preparing for and doing things. So it's manipulation in some respect.
I think there was a rate cut today, though. I think the Switzerland bank cut their rate.
Oh, yeah, Switzerland cut it the other month, though, didn't they? Last month as well.
And they cut it today as well.
I do.
Mm-hmm. You might want to back me up on that. I might just be completely wrong.
They cut it last month. I know that. I've not seen today.
I think they cut it
today.
Was
that Switzerland?
Maybe. A European bank. Probably Switzerland.
He's just making it up now.
Otherwise, it would be...
21st March.
March last month, yeah. Click on
news. Bloomberg had it today.
Oh.
Click on
the news.
Bloomberg just slow.
News and then...
Nope.
Just change on click on tools at the top right. And then recent to 24 hours.
This is a little lesson on...
There we go.
How to Google search.
Can you do rate cut? Just take off Switzerland. I might have got the wrong bank.
Sweden,
4 minutes ago.
God, that is breaking news.
That is breaking news,
yeah,
Dave.
You're welcome. Well, I did say the wrong country, so can't get all the plaudits. But yeah, Sweden have just cut their rates.
Swedish krona is that as well. So that's...
Divergence from the Fed. Is that an interesting point? Normally they all follow the Fed's lead, but some European countries going first.
Going the other way.
But will the ECB won't, will they?
No, they won't be able to.
No. Anyway, so it normally causes a market uptick. So I don't know what that means for Bitcoin really, but
these countries are all too small in comparison to like US mm-hmm. or Europe to really care about.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it like an avalanche effect though?
For the wider market.
Guys go first.
Yeah, I think a little bit of an indicator. I think it's a turn in the road. It probably means they've got their inflation under control, or they're just fed up of it. Who knows?
Just fed up of inflation.
Just fed up.
Just winging it like
everyone
else.
Fed up now. Yeah.
Also, I think 4% is new too, isn't it?
This podcast feels like it's fed up as well.
sick of talking about interest rates.
You're kind of just fed up of it.
The motivation from this, the enthusiasm.
It's never been a highly motivated podcast.
It's because you're always talking about rates and
central banks.
Let's move on from there.
Okay. But moving on, Wasabi Wallet creators, how do you say that? ZK Snacks?
ZK Snacks.
It says ZX on here. ZK Snacks discontinuing coin join coordination service.
How do you also say
Wasabi?
Wasabi.
Wasabi. Oh, Wasabi.
When you said that before.
Mike, Google lesson. Molly needs a reading lesson.
This is the guy that
from me as well. He pronounces everything wrong. Yeah.
So you can't, that's throwing, what's it? Throwing stones in glass houses.
So Wasabi.
Wasabi. Sorry, that does make more sense.
Yeah. No, it's just a follow on from last week's with, what are they called? I forgot the name.
Phoenix?
No. Well, Phoenix did pull as well.
Oh, Samurai.
Samurai Wallet. Yeah.
So Samurai Wallet being prosecuted by the US and Phoenix pulling out. Wasabi now are shutting down all services. Weirdly, interestingly though, there was, we haven't got it marked on here, but Super Tesla, I think it was, the guy that's been doing the whole BitVM stuff and some of the other little innovative things within Bitcoin, he's pushed something out about creating a kind of a decentralized version of Wasabi and Samurai. So it doesn't have to have a central server that creates, as we spoke about last week, how it creates the transaction. And I assume that's why the US have clamped down on Samurai. He's created one where it doesn't need that central server to create the transaction.
On a basic level, because we do try and have to highlight some educational bits and pieces here. Mm-hmm. What does a coin join service do for a transaction?
It's the point of it is the original concept and theory is privacy. So it helps increase more privacy. So it would all us four put send a transaction. It puts our transactions together to make it more private. So nobody knows where they're necessarily. They all come into one place and then they all split off and go mm-hmm. into the correct destination of where they're meant to be being sent to. So it kind of starts to complicate it for anyone to be able to track it on the blockchain.
Right.
So theoretically is just the privacy angle. Obviously, a lot of people have been using it from dark markets and sending to these sort of services to hide their dark market funds, which then go on to other mm-hmm. places, which is why obviously the US have clamped down on some of these. What I find interesting, what I was saying about the Super Tesla and what he's just thrown up these last couple of days was because it shows it's like innovation. It's like the regulator, the countries have clamped down, which they have on Samurai, which could be correct. We obviously have to wait for the court case to go through before you can make a judgment on that. But what they've created is fear in the market with Phoenix, with Wasabi, mm-hmm. with a couple of others, I think, as well, who have pulled away from the US, but also Wasabi closing down their whole service. That creates innovation, which is what's happened there. And then somebody's managed to create one that is effectively going to do what I think, in theory, what Wasabi and Samurai were already doing, but in a decentralized way. So there's no central point for the US to come and say, you can't do this and arrest them. So it's whether that's good or bad, I'm not saying either way there. I think it's just a let's wait and see how that plays out. It's just interesting. Shows innovation. Once you get pushed into a corner, you have to innovate.
Interesting.
Okay. Next one. Prosecutors are reportedly investigating blocking after a whistleblower claimed it processed thousands of transactions from sanctioned countries and terrorist groups.
Oof. That was interesting. This came out of the blue a little bit, but again, it's US SEC going after FBI, or I don't even know who it was.
You're going after everybody at the
moment. Prosecuting these guys, but or investigating these guys. Just federal prosecutors, I don't know who that is. But yeah, there's just so many they're going after. But Cash App was quite a surprising one because they're a public company.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say, did anyone read whether it says about whether this is actually Bitcoin?
No, it didn't mention Bitcoin.
Yeah, so it's like more like just fiat side just, yeah. for the transactions. So I'd love to
just
see.
Just the association.
Yeah, so it's not an attack on.
It does say that, sorry.
Involved, yeah, it wasn't like singling out Bitcoin, it was just credit card transactions, dollar transfers.
And Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So it's involving all sorts.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just their whole business model.
But it's quite surprising, isn't it, though? Because Cash App have a pretty good reputation.
In our industry, I don't know, with regulators, I've no idea.
But yeah, the former employees apparently provided 100 pages of documents. So.
So a bit of a whistleblower thing.
Yeah.
Pretty extensive report.
I mean, no one from that, but like all the banks are also like get fined quite regularly from the FSA and bits and pieces like this for breaches and things like this. And they're always ongoing investigations for everyone, isn't it? This is.
I mean, that's not what you want to read, is it? The compliance team is led by people who should not be in charge of a regulated compliance program.
Yeah, but who said that? Is it like a former disgruntled employee?
Yeah. Just say former employee.
Yeah.
A cleaner or something.
Which is very hard when it's former employees. You've got the credibility of that drops off a little bit, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because
you've
no idea how they've left the company and why.
Mm.
But yeah, one to keep an eye on. Mm. SEC or Fed, whoever the hell it is, that's investigating them at the minute, going heavy on investigations at the minute.
It's like every day there's a new one, isn't there?
But that's their job. That's their job.
Like Dave should says, be doing.
Yeah, but you have
banks,
quiet
and payment
periods,
service
and
providers.
All of a sudden it feels like it's everybody.
But they should be held accountable to the law. Yeah. I mean, if they're breaking the law, they're breaking the law.
I think in the financial world, that's like Dave said, that's happening a lot more regularly. It just doesn't make the news because nobody really cares.
It's just because this is one, Jack Dorsey, who's extremely high profile, and two, has Bitcoin. Got a vague Bitcoin thing, so it invades our space a little bit.
Yeah.
But you can go on the fines lists of the FSA register and you can see that the banks pick these sort of stuff up, compliance breaches all the time. It's just, this is just the day-to-day. And then when they've got 10,000 employees or however many block have got, you're always going to get someone disgruntled who's got access. It's just one of them. It's the world.
Okay.
Wait and see.
Right, well, back on to Jack. Block is DCAing 10% of gross profits into Bitcoin every month.
This is interesting. It's basically what their new product is, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they're just doing it themselves.
Mm. Again, that's what we should have already been doing it.
They have the lead. Yeah, so we spoke about this yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah. Who do we speak to that about?
On a call yesterday.
Oh, right, yeah.
But we've been speaking about it a lot recently, because we spoke to quite a few people over these last sort of 6 months, maybe, in the industry, where we expected a lot of Bitcoin companies to already have Bitcoin on the balance sheet and to be buying Bitcoin every month.
Hmm. If Molly wanted to put out a statement saying Coin Corner have been DCAing Bitcoin, I'd say, why is stating the obvious?
Yeah.
Don't be so, that's not news.
Do you know what? We've been naive, I think.
We've been idiots.
We've been idiots. Oh. We've been naive in
Molly
thinking that.
Molly,
she's marking. Yeah, we'll blame her. We've been naive in thinking that all the Bitcoin
people
industry
care.
Have Bitcoin on the balance sheet and are DCing into Bitcoin. Yeah. We thought everybody was already doing that. For them to just start, I know we knew they weren't because they bought some years ago in the public.
We know there might be limits for public companies or VCA-backed companies.
But they're public. We thought all the private Bitcoin companies.
Yeah, sorry, I said VCA, whatever
it's
that
confusing
was.
VCs and DCAs.
VCA, I was just thinking, I mashed them two up.
Yeah, you just keep quiet.
Yeah, sorry.
But I think, we naively thought that everybody else was already doing it, so it wasn't anything exciting or special.
It's not shadow worthy.
And in reality, maybe we probably are one of the longest DCA in Bitcoin companies in the world, or probably the longest, I imagine. Maybe you've got like Bull Bitcoin and a few others that might sit in that same remit.
I'm just assuming there's still, I'm hopeful that some people that are preaching.
Kind of hope we're not the longest one, because that would be embarrassing.
No, you just hope people aren't LARPing and actually putting money where their mouth is and actually doing it, because the huge benefits of having Bitcoin in your balance sheet is so obvious.
So we've had it since 2014, since we launched. I guess accidentally had it on the balance sheet since 2014 in some respects, because it was too early for us to, we weren't
we could, a breaking quite frankly, company. We could have sold it. We always made the decision not to.
We've had, so in the early days, we had we didn't really think about it. We had Bitcoin on the balance sheet without realizing, because we were a Bitcoin exchange and we had to operate in a certain way where we had a Bitcoin buffer to be able to effectively sell to clients. Mm. So we did it without realizing, not for the purpose of the price going up.
Right.
Because I think it was too early for us.
I don't like the term without realizing. It makes it look like we don't concentrate on our balance sheet.
This was in 2014 launched.
That's pre-me. This is fully aware what's on our balance sheet.
I thought when you started saying something, I was thinking you weren't here in 2014.
I know, that's why
you can't have an opinion.
I was like, just to clarify. Yeah.
But we did that without...
Probably
for the first few years, we didn't realize, because it was too early in the industry. You didn't really think like that. And it takes a few years to get your head around Bitcoin and into it properly. So we were just kind of operating to get to a break-even point. So we weren't thinking. We did have Bitcoin on the balance sheet all the way through that period. And some of that period paid off in quite a nice mm-hmm. way, because the price went up towards 2017. So at the end of 2017, we realized, and then coming into 2018, and then hit bear market hit, because we had Bitcoin on the balance sheet there, it worked out very nicely mm-hmm. And allowed us to survive and continue without going and getting venture capital money. So we were able to then effectively fund the next few years of bear market before bull market kicked off again just before COVID. I guess at probably 2019 onwards, maybe more so, we were more actively holding as much Bitcoin on the balance sheet as we could at that point. I'd probably say 2019, 2020 onwards. Mm-hmm. And definitely over the last couple of years, more so as markets matured and confidence has grown in Bitcoin, mm-hmm. we've tried to hold as much as possible rather than sell it. But we've had to sell, obviously, don't get me wrong, during bear periods where...
Yeah, well, that's like any treasury reserve of any company ever.
And it's worth...
It's just our treasury reserve is predominantly
incredibly
Bitcoin.
Powerful way.
Yeah.
It's just what it's there for.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
So we are literally have been DCAing every month for like years. So
all that marketing content has been wasted.
It's not been wasted. It's just stuff that we just never thought was
publicity
newsworthy.
Those guys are getting.
I know.
All those
we can't put it out now though, because it'll look too like you're jumping on the back.
Could we not show our first one, like first buy? Like, oh, look, back in 2014, there it was.
I mean, you could probably, yeah.
We've been doing this every
probably dig
every
it
week
out.
Since.
Well, you'd have to dig out of the accounts and see what we had, see how much Bitcoin we had on the balance sheet in 2014.
Yeah, all right, but we've got enough to do. I can't really.
It'll take 2 minutes.
No.
We'll do that. We'll do that for next episode.
I didn't want more work for me. This is supposed to be about Molly
next
and
episode.
Her incompetence.
Yeah, get me the data and then I can tweet it out.
Hey.
It would be, right. it'd be scary, I think, some of it when you look at what the value of it would be now. But over the years, you have to sell.
But just are people bothered?
I think as well.
People seem to be bothered, though. Mm. Like, it makes news.
Well, they've brought out a product, haven't they, to get businesses to DCA. That's the whole point of their announcement here, that they're doing 10%, because they're telling their clients they can all do 10%, so they need to lead from the front and do that. So,
but it's just mad they've not been doing that the whole time.
It's mad. I think it's just mad a lot of our industry have not been doing it, but it's because a lot of our industry are not. I think some would like to say the big exchanges, Coinbase, we know we've got Bitcoin on the balance sheet. I don't know if they've necessarily been DCAing along the way. I don't know how they've been doing that. But a lot of the other companies in our industry that are outside of maybe shitcoin casinos are not profitable. So they can't afford to risk the price movements in a short period of time. They have to make sure they've got enough dollar on the balance sheet to be able to sustain the next 12, 18, 24 months and survive. So until they get to a break even and profit, they can't, or they don't have the luxury of being able to then slowly DCA into Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we've just been fortunate to be able to do that since probably 2018 properly. So yeah, a good 6 years I would say of doing that.
It'd be fun to call all the other exchanges out, wouldn't it?
No, it's not our game.
It's not what we do.
Not our
just
game.
Just feeling spicy.
No, just crack on.
I think we've just took it for granted over the years as well, because we have clients that are businesses that have Bitcoin on the balance sheet, and because we see that, we don't think it's anything too special, and we have quite a lot of them in our customer base. So it's kind of like, we've just took it for granted.
Yeah.
But yes, there's a lot of companies in UK, Europe sort of areas that do have Bitcoin on the balance sheet. some at very large scale, some at small scale, and they've been doing it for many years.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. We've been doing it for 10 years, so.
Okay.
There's our new story. Oh, okay, this will be a fun one. GB News had XRP Army member Jennifer Arkell on to talk about Bitcoin.
This is all I've been waiting for. I can't remember this what she awful. Said, so I'm going to have to wing it in terms of our responses here. But
right, we've got an 8-minute clip that we'll work through.
We can respond. Wow.
It pulls it back, doesn't it?
Yeah, we don't like this music.
Very intense.
That was intense.
Not our style, is it?
Has anyone watched GB News? So no. Where do you even find it? Is it got its own channel?
I think it's got a channel now, yeah.
Yeah, it does have.
Where do you find it?
I have no idea.
It's like right-wing news, right?
I have no idea.
So
I think they would call it conservative news, but yeah, it's right-wing
it's
news.
It's right-wing. And Neil Oliver, former historian. He's a historian, isn't he?
He used to do
the BBC Coast channel.
Speaks like a poet. I don't know.
Oh, he's a great orator. He used to do a programme called The Coast and go around the coastline of Britain and talk about the industrial history of it.
I've seen him do other things before, and I've not thought he was a bad guy, but now I think he's a dreadful guy.
Now I think he's the one.
Do you think he's dreadful?
Now he's enabled this. So he's have very. You seen, have you watched all this, Dave? You watched all 8 minutes of it. I can't have any other opinion now.
Okay. Well, let's see. I used to respect him.
That's what I'm saying. You used to have a bit of time for him.
Yeah, news have got my news, haven't they? I think in some way.
All right, let's
let them see.
Let's engage, Dave.
Welcome back once more to the Neil Oliver Show.
You called the Coast Guy.
Where my next guest is American entrepreneur Jennifer Arcuri. Welcome to the show, Jennifer. How are you doing?
Hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
I've just been talking to
German economist Richard Werner about the reality of money, about where money comes from, about the power that control of money gives to bankers and central bankers in particular. But
was it there? Did we see any of that bit?
No, I didn't.
See, is that the counter argument? I mean, it'd be interesting to see that bit on next week's show.
Was it Richard the Economist? Did he say?
Whether it was anti-central bank, which I presume, I don't know whether the GB News would be. Anyway, if we didn't see that.
GB News, I think, are quite anti-CBDC stuff.
Oh, right, okay.
So as far as my understanding...
It's like Nigel Farage is one of their main correspondents, isn't he? And he's very pro-Bitcoin and self-ownership.
Area.
Cryptocurrency. Alternatives to cash. You have very strong opinions about Bitcoin in particular, do you not? Can you illustrate to me why that is so?
Well, first of all, I love that you're having this conversation. It's really great to see it take mainstream television. It is important. I know a lot of people are concerned about their money, and I think basically it comes back to a very basic fundamental of the life cycles of currencies. And as we're seeing now, this life cycle is coming to an end, this currency. And as history has shown us many years before, we'll always reset back to gold. It will never be Bitcoin.
So she's saying that
Bitcoin's coming to an end. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
She's not saying Bitcoin.
I thought she was talking about fiat.
No, she's talking about Bitcoin.
No.
She just said it'll go back to gold. It'll never be Bitcoin.
Yeah,
but she's talking about the dollar.
Do you think?
I thought she was talking about the dollar.
She needs to define that then, because... Me and Mikey both thought Bitcoin.
I thought it sounded like she was talking about Bitcoin.
I was definitely thinking that she was talking about
As history has shown us many years before, we'll always reset. This life cycle is coming to an end, this currency.
And that's all she says, this currency.
As history has shown us many years before, we'll always reset back to gold. It will never be Bitcoin. Bitcoin is not scalable. Bitcoin cannot take on the traffic and this whole idea that it's some... you know, value, store of value, or digital gold.
The hilarious thing of that is when she's saying it'll be gold because Bitcoin's not scalable. So is gold scalable? when did gold become scalable? This is going to be a long, painful process.
She says it always goes back to gold, like as in fiat then gets pegged back to gold after... cycles. So like she's probably talking about
it's never done that though, has it?
Pre-dollar.
It was pegged to gold once, And then it came away in 71.
Mm.
So it's never been back since, and it was only ever done once in the past.
The pound kept trying to peg and re-peg, and there was problems pegging that one. It just, there's always a problem. If you repeat the error of pegging fiat back to gold, it's all the fundamental problems with the actual gold itself.
Yeah.
And the fact in storing and making it transferable is just everyone actually just stops being moving the gold around, and then it becomes burdensome, and then people just go, actually, scrap it.
But she's saying,
stop pegging it.
She's saying things there that are just incorrect, though. She's saying that it always goes
a lot on this.
It always goes back to gold, which is not true. It's never gone back to gold. It's only been gold and then never come back. She's saying Bitcoin's not scalable, and that's the reason it'll go back to gold. Gold is not scalable.
No.
So she's already... has incorrect or inaccurate.
But she's about to say why. No doubt she'll say why. Here we go.
I know there's a lot of Bitcoin maxis out there that will hate me for saying this, but that just simply is not true. There is no intrinsic value of Bitcoin.
You love the intrinsic argument.
Oh my God. If people that say that are just... it's not that. It's just such an easy case because it's like... proof of any intrinsic value is extremely difficult. Even if you look at fiat or anything, extrinsically, it's what does that even mean? Normally it means like physically, right? So it's very hard with Bitcoin to for people to quantify what the extrinsic value is. But the fact you've got like all the Bitcoin fundamentals, this is why it's difficult. And this is what you can't really, unless you read about Bitcoin, I think the intrinsic value argument will always come up because it's difficult to quantify. If I was to say to you, what's the intrinsic value of Bitcoin?
I would say the fact that the entire unbanked population can have access to a form of currency pretty intrinsically
valuable. But you'd
valuable.
Go to use case, wouldn't you? So you'd start like quoting Gladstein books and say, look, this is the intrinsic value for that person. This is the intrinsic value to that person. Because it's different for each person, you can't then go, oh, that's the intrinsic value.
But I think like Bitcoin's just code at the end of the day, isn't it? You can't look at a string of code and say there's value to that. Like it's how it works. How it functions is the value.
Yeah, 100%. So it's unique functionality, but... that's really hard to get onto a soundbite.
Mm.
You just did it.
No, I didn't do it. it's hard to do well. Yeah, it's hard to do well.
I think when you say intrinsic value, then what's the intrinsic value to gold? She doesn't obviously go on to explain.
Well, the intrinsic value would be the
electricity.
The intrinsic value is the same thing. It's hard to get, like Bitcoin. Like it's people have the value of it because they've always had value in it. There's a trusted value in it. So it's like the intrinsic value of gold. More palatable to people because it's a physical.
The intrinsic value in gold, then you're saying, is trust.
There's a few things.
A lot of people I always hear about when they say gold, but gold can be used to conduct electricity and can be used for electronics things, which is
fundamentally, it's hard to get, isn't it? So it's a natural scarcity.
It's hard to get. It's
hard to get. You can't just find it. You've got to go mine it in certain areas, and it costs an awful lot to mine. Exactly like Bitcoin. Mm.
You no longer do, though, because you can now make gold.
Don't go down synthetic gold arguments.
It's not synthetic gold. It's synthetic gold, but it's still gold. It's the same.
I don't know enough about synthetic gold but park that.
Because that then destroys everything when you think in terms it's hard to get.
But I don't know
actually you can make gold. It's too expensive at the minute to do, which is why it's not worth it. It costs like 8 times the amount than just to mine it, I think.
Okay.
But you can synthetically make gold now.
Yeah.
It's thinking the particles together, isn't it? Smashing the particles together.
No doubt she's about to tell us why.
Go and Google that if anyone's wondering for the synthetic gold. There's a couple of places that
I never have. You've mentioned it before and I'm always like...
You Googled it recently.
Synthetic. Well, only to prove that, I think, to say, does it
wrong,
even exist?
Realized,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter
I suppose it does matter in terms of this because if gold's value is based on scarcity and you can actually make it from thin air, then
that's my point.
But
it's probably not thin air, it probably is a costly process.
huge amount of energy, no doubt.
8 times the amount at the minute, but that will get cheaper.
But that actually does give it value then if you can't just make it from such cheap resource.
Currently, but now you know you can do it, it will then over time potentially get cheaper and cheaper to make.
I think synthetic diamonds now are pretty cheap, aren't they?
Yeah, they are actually. Okay, right, anyway.
A pro advocate for digital assets in the crypto space. I am extremely pro blockchain, but never Bitcoin. I believe Bitcoin is being used.
We're never going to get through this video.
I didn't know we were still in 2018.
Pro blockchain is the sort of, 2015, 16 conversations. That's just ridiculous. Obviously, that the frustrating part for this, that we'd need like a 5-hour episode to break this down and go through it properly, because it's a lot of technical explaining in some respects. But the annoying thing is the general public that might be watching this don't necessarily understand why that comment is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But they will be.
Instead of it being over their eyes. I get what you're saying about 2000 whatever year you said in terms of that argument. But if that doesn't matter, if you're new to cryptocurrency or Bitcoin, like they'll start learning about blockchain when you start learning about Bitcoin and blockchain. So I get it that it's annoying for us because we've seen it so many times.
It's the argument on the news for somebody that's saying they've been in the industry and they're an expert in the industry.
To me,
for them to come on the news and say that is a ridiculous, it shows the lack of her actual knowledge.
Oh no, that's what I get from it. I think it's like early stage learning on Bitcoin and blockchain. Everyone goes, blockchain first. But then once they get their head into blockchain and how...
It's a slow database. It's a terribly slow database.
Basically, it's a small part of what Bitcoin is.
Yeah.
The people, I think everyone takes that learning curve. And to me, it just highlights where she's at in terms of her knowledge base when people start spouting that.
But she's the crypto expert on here, which is the frustrating part.
Have they even said that, though?
They said she was an entrepreneur, didn't she?
Used as a trap, another Trojan horse. And as you and I have mentioned many times, I see them manipulating the prices of gold and silver to particularly keep the nominal price down so that banks have the ability to buy in and at these low manipulated prices. And then as you've seen the years of the narrative shift on Bitcoin, Bitcoin's a beta. Bitcoin was introduced after the last, 2008 crash. So
that also really does my head in. That people think 2008 crash, Bitcoin was invented as a reaction.
Yeah.
If you look at the history of development, every step, all the hash cash, the digicash stuff.
People were trying to create it for decades before.
Oh, my God. There's innovation after innovation built on that happened to have launched in 2008.
It launched in 2009. White paper was 2008. Right. But also Satoshi was developing it in 2007.
Mm.
So there's communication now. You can see that Satoshi was actually working on this in end of 2007, I think it was.
But how long were those 2008. Cyberpunks were going for? So, all through the 80s.
Yeah, but the crash hadn't happened. The 2008 financial crash hadn't happened, and Satoshi had already built basically Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So, and it just coincidentally, as you say, launched at the same time.
People think
after
this
was
just a snap product that came from nowhere, like any sort of normal product launch.
Yeah.
No one sees the stuff behind it and how important
I agree with it, like the decades before and all the work, but I'm trying to make the point of Bitcoin didn't come because of the financial crash.
No.
Bitcoin was already created effectively before the financial crash. I didn't get launched until as it was crashing.
I mean, it was just a nice time to launch.
It was a perfect time. Yeah.
Fairly poetic.
Yeah.
But it didn't launch because of.
Then we bring in this exercise of digital currency. And at first it was the drug users and the cartel. And now they're picking it up and bringing it into mainstream. And a lot of people bought into the concept that it was outside the system. Neil, you and I know that's just simply not true. It's completely inside the system. When they created a Bitcoin ETF, they created an ability to short the market. They now are controlling the system.
Jennifer, can you explain?
So there's many myths around Bitcoin.
Who's
she thinking they are?
The banks, I think. And
what does it mean?
But there's a lot of words that don't really mean a lot there, I think. And the saying like it's inside the system and they control the system now and stuff, like what is the system?
Yeah.
They might have an influence on the price, as the Bitcoin ETFs, of course, have had an influence on the price, but that's pension funds and public companies and things buying Bitcoin ETFs, which is, of course, pushing the price up, demand and supply and demand.
It isn't. We've not seen a massive increase in price since the ETFs have come on board.
It's pretty substantial.
Yeah.
What was it when they came on board?
40K.
Was it?
Yeah, well, the anticipation of them coming in January, it was like 30K back in October. So it's gone from 30K to it's doubled.
I feel like we've just been side crabbing for a while.
Oblivious.
Yeah.
No, it's gone. The start of the year it was 42K, I think.
Things move fast in this industry. I don't even remember January.
We did get an all-time high.
But
slightly earlier than
compared to where we are now, we're 62K. I think that's much of a difference, but maybe I'm just dead inside to the price over these years.
Maybe. I forgot what I was talking about now.
They're in control.
Yeah.
Those guys are in control of the Bitcoin system.
ETF price manipulating the price has had an influence on the price, but that's the price and the Bitcoin network are two different things. They intertwine in lots of different ways, but controlling the system, they have no control over the network.
I can still send you some Bitcoin, you can still send me some Bitcoin.
And they can't stop that. They can't change that. They can't do anything about it. Like, they don't have hash rate. They don't run nodes. I'm actually probably 99% sure that these ETFs don't run nodes because, well, one of them does, Fidelity.
Can you explain to my audience why Bitcoin continues to reach the values that it does? You know, I remember it coming in and a Bitcoin was worth whatever, you know, less than a dollar. I haven't looked at it in the last 10 minutes, but I've seen it recently up at around $60,000 for a single Bitcoin. How can that scale of fluctuation be possible?
So I know a lot of people, because of my Bitcoin doubts, will try to make out that I don't understand what I'm talking about. But the time to buy in on Bitcoin was 10 years ago, Neil, not now. 10 years ago when you were able to build the rig yourself and build it. Now it's just too expensive. It's costly and labor intensive.
That's just a jumbled mess of words.
She's making out like the only way to get Bitcoin is to mine it.
Yeah. You've got to build the rig yourself and it's expensive. And it's like, what is jumbled mess of words that is? There was a bit, what did she say at the start of that?
It depends. Like, if you're viewing Bitcoin as a get-rich-quick meme coin, then you might have a point in terms of...
That's not what they should be discussing. That's not their agenda.
But it seems like they're trying to get... She's not, like, having that as a savings technology. It's not bracketed. She's just talking about...
You should have invested in the S&P 500 30 years ago. That would have been the best time to invest in that. And that's a ridiculous thought process and comment.
Yeah, just... flat out saying the time to invest in crypto was 10 years ago, not now.
Well, she's saying Bitcoin was 10 years ago. Yeah. She'll come on to say crypto is now, which is crazy. But this is the same argument.
Pick up XRP for pennies.
Stupid stuff we get every single cycle. I don't even know where to start breaking this down of a jumble mess of words here. She's going on about mining and expense and stuff. Go on, press play and we'll pick up the next point.
She's just a bit lost and panicking, I think, isn't she?
Yeah.
There's no incentive for, you know, these validators, for the people running the network to be rewarded, especially after this recent Bitcoin halving.
She's confusing nodes and miners.
Ethereum in there?
She's calling validators, she's talking like XRP and Ethereum stuff.
Yeah, that's what they were called.
Yeah, that's the proof of stake side to the validating, but the she's just confusing everything and there's no rewards. It's like, I don't understand where she's coming from,
but to a level of, if you had no idea of the industry,
she's saying it confidently.
She's saying enough words where I'd be like, oh,
so there's no reward for these, well, she hasn't even said miners yet. It's these validators, as she's called them. But they're miners, there are rewards still. There's still what are we at, 3.125 Bitcoin per block. So there's still a massive reward there. Mm. Plus there's the fees on top of that, which are adding up to $200,000 per block or whatever it is these days. For people at a basic level, if miners cannot make enough money, some of the miners will drop off, but other miners will continue because the hash rate comes down. As the hash rate comes down, as miners drop off, the difficulty gets easier. So it's easier in theory to mine, which means they can mine... they can make more money effectively. They can mine quicker and become more profitable. Yeah, and they'll find more blocks. Sorry, not quicker. They'll find more blocks, which will make them more profitable, which will then be sustainable. So it always creates an equilibrium, and that's how the system of Bitcoin is designed, to create that equilibrium between the price and the hash rate. And you've seen that happen for 13 years now. So there's not a scenario there where Bitcoin just stops working because there's no rewards, as she's calling it, for the validators, as she's calling it again, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, if everyone stopped tomorrow, I'd start.
Yeah.
it's just crazy. It's just.
I like that.
We'll go with that.
Having, and as it continues to there'll be less and less incentive for it to be mined. So proof of stake.
Just pause that again. Sorry. There's less, as it halves, there's less incentive for it to be mined. The theory is obviously the price goes up in Bitcoin each 4 years, as historically we've seen, has gone up, which the reward is halving. But because the price is more than doubled over them 4 year periods, the income for the miners is still sustained or larger. I think this last couple of months has been like the largest rewards miners have ever had and most profitable time for miners. And why is it most profitable now? Why was it not most profitable 10 years ago? I was mining, to put this into perspective. I was mining 10 years ago, so I know a little bit about this, what's happening there. And it became not profitable for us to mine in the Isle of Man because electricity costs were too high. But we stopped mining, and like you're saying, Mikey, somebody else carries on and the equilibrium works itself out. So there'll always be miners. Bitcoin is not going to stop because there's no... mining fees are going to continue for 120 years, is it still now? 110, 115 years.
2140, isn't it?
And then even when them rewards from the block rewards have finished and there's 21 million Bitcoin in circulation, then the fees of the network will still be there for the miners to be rewarded with. But I think it'd be interesting. We can just guess on 100 years' time. None of us will ever be right or wrong. We can make stuff up because we won't be alive probably by that time. But by 2140, I think financial incentives will have changed, I think, in lots of ways for miners. So I think you may end up seeing at the minute miners are mining to make money and companies going public, etc. And there's like some big, large companies now that are mining and they're there to make profits. What we may see going forwards, we've seen El Salvador now start to be a government that are mining. We've seen Oman starting to mine. We've seen a couple of other countries now, Kazakhstan was it, and a few others, starting to actually mine Bitcoin from a government perspective. Come 100 years' time, the financial incentive might be irrelevant to most of these miners because they may be mining for the incentive of like the global security of their country in the respect
so
of...
So that another country doesn't get 50% of the network.
Yeah, exactly. So it becomes a, like the US spend how much money on their army and that side, this could be the new financial incentive way to do it. Yeah, so the defense budget is almost spent on Bitcoin mining. So the incentive could theoretically be irrelevant in 100 years' time. We'll never know.
That's a war I can get behind.
Proof of work doesn't work. I mean, what we're seeing here, where they're trying to create Bitcoin out of nothing and then now create a value around it. I believe this is a narrative, a very concerted narrative here to push the plebs into this digital currency, which will be regulated, as we're seeing with the Ripple case coming on. And right now it's the XRP Vegas event going on. Shout out to everybody out there. They're creating an XRP film that will be produced that is going to document the corruption that's been going on with the SEC and the free passes for Ethereum and how they allow one set of rules for one currency and another set of rules for another. This fiat currency...
I don't know who she's attacking the SEC, Ethereum, Bitcoin, everything all at once.
And then she's saying hi to XRP.
She's saying one set of rules for one currency. They're not the same thing. Like Ethereum and XRP are reliant on XRP organization and Ethereum organizations to run.
She's attacking it at Ethereum, saying XRP is different to Ethereum. And XRP has been sued, but Ethereum been let off, basically.
But I also think like she's implying that Bitcoin has also been let off because that one's not getting attacked.
She's not really mentioned Bitcoin. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm reading between the lines.
She's jumped between lots of different things. She's attacking the SEC. She's attacking the Ethereum. She's don't know what else she's going to be attacking.
Yeah.
Well, she also keeps referring to people as plebs, which is very much an industry term. Like people in the news aren't going to have any idea
understand what that means.
She's going to think she's just talking down to all these.
Sounds knowledgeable.
Commoners.
Yeah, that's a good point. Would the mainstream understand what?
His face. Like he says it again in a second. You sort of see him look a little bit confused when she keeps saying.
Yeah, but
plebs.
She sounds like she's at one with Bitcoin,
the industry.
Yeah, she knows what she's talking about.
But the plebs has come from Bitcoin, not from crypto.
Mm.
So she's jumbling things up all over the place. Yeah. This is crazy.
currency, the bottom line here, Neil, is you know, fiat's coming to an end, and they're going to look for other ways, you know, to create liquidity. And that's why you're seeing the price of Bitcoin do what it's doing. It's creating this FOMO effect where everybody's jumping in, feeling that they're going to become millionaires, when the reality is the time to buy Bitcoin was 10 years ago.
Hold on, Jim.
And I know that for a fact. I mean, we were buying it and mining it then.
Just going to bring
in my guest. But now we're coming into a place of regulation. I mean, even if you did continue this... you know, the mining and the building out the proof of work, you know, this scalable consensus protocol that Bitcoin runs on is never going to be an optimal world currency. It's not going to be what people use on a daily basis. It's not a store of value because there's no value to it.
Wow. She's reading from something else.
She is. She keeps looking
that.
Down.
She's looking
she?
Down oh, and
she's
reading.
Prepped.
Incorrect notes.
She wouldn't
scripted.
Be reading.
Go on this, you go on scripted. News, you're going to prep a bit.
Are you prep? I've been on stuff before. I've never prepped.
To me, prep would be knowing what you're going to say in your head without yeah. reading
just
what's
even
in front
saying,
of you.
It's never going to be a store of value because there's no value to it, even though it's the most liquid market with the most identifiable value in the world.
24/7, 365.
Mm. That's annoying.
Currently worth $63,000.
Yeah. How have you got that value? There's no value to it. Mm. You're talking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just annoying. It's really annoying watching this.
It's like, it's too much to break down and try and explain all this because it's just.
Yeah, we've got to try, otherwise,
gibberish.
Like, Twitter must have been all over this, right?
Oh, yeah, everyone's.
Was everyone saying, get me on GB News because yeah. I'll be the sensible yeah. one in the yeah. room.
But you almost need to, like, it would end up being like an hour conversation going back and forward with her to try and dispute
they'd
some
have
of
to
these
have
things.
A little
and
Bitcoin
it
hour.
Just, yeah, you just couldn't do it on something like this.
I think she'd just try and steamroll you as well. By the sounds of just, it. Come, yeah. she's not even letting them get this next step.
She's trying to ask questions.
I think it always comes back to the fact, though, we live in this little bubble where we think everyone knows the basics of Bitcoin. But and I know she's obviously XRP army or whatever she is, but she's spouting absolute bullshit. And people are going to take that and, what do you call it, regurgitate those facts that they've learned on here. And it's just a cycle of people, it's just a cycle of being stuck still in that beginning point where there's still so much we need to do in terms of education.
Mm. Yeah. I think, yeah, news really need to think about who they're bringing on, don't they?
Yeah, there's just whoever's available.
It's got the attention and the entertainment. Like it did blow up on Twitter. This,
yeah,
they're going to be happy.
Bitcoin, right, is inevitable, right? So I think that's my personal opinion. So doing all this is kind of just wasting time. Like educating people, like they'll get it eventually. It's just going to take. They'll get it in their own time because they'll have to get it because it's inevitable. I think in terms of even a global currency, I think it's inevitable.
But you want to get as many of the people on board before all these institutions can snatch up as much.
Can't
as
help
can.
Everyone.
You can't help everyone, but you
eventually
can try.
If you, yeah,
sort of feel obligated to try.
Part of me is just, do we? Are we? Are we really?
Well, we've been trying for 10 years.
Do we have
there's
to
no point
trying?
Stopping now, you know? We've already got a 10-year track record.
I know, but we bark on about education, and then this will just come along.
It's a small hurdle.
This is the general news media. We've done the BBC. We've seen loads of media outlets like this. This is where we're at the moment. It's just painful, and it's just part of me is just like.
This is not even like what is Bitcoin. This is people with a little bit of knowledge about Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies. They're like the most dangerous people, aren't they? I can't remember what the terminology is called, but when you know a little bit about something and you're really confident about it, but you're actually...
Yeah, I've forgotten what it's called. There's a term for that, but
it's... I feel like this is where we're kind of at with this stage. It's not, you've not got the news covering like the Bitcoin basics. It's kind of like, oh, here's a Bitcoin expert, but it's all wrong.
Human behavior will trump it. As price goes up, human behavior will FOMO or will... their perception will change. They will think price is going up, she was wrong, I'll jump in. So human behavior is a weird thing. So I think fortunately, you know, in some way this is not even a blip in the journey for most people. I think Dave's right, it will be irrelevant what she's saying on here and rambling on about. People will learn about Bitcoin.
She'll be a meme
along
soon,
the way.
Won't she?
Well, she might just delay people's learning journey slightly as they get slightly hesitant to what they she said, but eventually they'll find it.
Yeah. And it doesn't damage necessarily Bitcoin, it damages that individual.
Yeah.
That journey, which is a shame.
Hold that thought, Jennifer Arcuri. Andrew Ebon, do you have FOMO? Do you have fear of missing out on Bitcoin, or are you glad?
They might have introduced him earlier.
They might have introduced, but this was just weird. Like, his comments here was just press play, sorry.
Ship sealed with that.
I think as soon as I was hearing Jennifer speak, I think, and you were asking, well, what is this explanation for these crazy valuation? They are crazy. FOMO, fear of missing out, is what drove it. Because people want to, they hear everybody say, we're multimillionaires for doing nothing overnight. That sort of greed factor. But I think, as I always like to do, is break down the jargon. Because a lot of people will be watching here and say, well, we don't really understand, what is a Bitcoin? And I think whoever better than Jennifer just to explain in simple terms what it is.
Jennifer,
she hasn't explained anything about what Bitcoin is.
She hasn't said what it is.
She's just attacked it for 5 minutes.
She just said it's worth nothing.
With random words.
And never will be worth anything.
It's like, I don't know who this guy is, but he also is just on another planet. I don't know what is happening there. That's
who better
crazy.
Than this guy to back up Jennifer?
We need to find out who this guy is as well.
Quick, almost a yes or no answer. Do you think that Bitcoin was always brought in, was always going to be a trap? Or do you think there was an earlier period where it might have been something else entirely? Or was it simply created,
checking the notes,
as you see, as a Trojan horse or as a trap for the gullible?
So they've gone for like full conspiracy theorists now, where they're just they're like,
yeah.
But she said Trojan horse earlier, didn't she? So I think they've
latched on,
pulled
that.
Onto that. Yeah,
it's all about the soundbite in them.
Well, it was created after the last financial crisis, so I absolutely believe
it was not
created before.
It was not, which we've already highlighted.
It's a beta exercise to get people in, and ultimately, knowing that we are coming to the end of this life cycle. Of a fiat currency, you know, what better way to shovel the plebs into the paddocks of Bitcoin? You know, look over here while we do this. You know, there's nothing that's going to replace physical gold and silver. Centuries have shown us this. And as far as, you know, what...
Well, fiat money replaced... physical and digital money replaced gold in 1971.
So silver after a couple of centuries will tarnish and lose its...
I know, but it's like that thing about history repeating, not repeating. Like, yeah. There's never been a time where we could have produced Bitcoin previous to when Bitcoin was produced. Yeah. As in the concept and what technologically, it just wasn't possible.
No, you didn't have the internet. You didn't have technology.
So now we're at a point where we can create a better gold.
Yeah. Well, it is a better gold.
Yeah.
But people still clutching at straws with the gold.
In her scenario, we're getting rid of fiat. This is what she's saying. We're going to go back to gold coins. And that, is that what she's
saying? And silver.
And XRP.
Yeah. That's
and coming soon.
And then repeat. So then there's going to be another fiat. They're going to start issuing paper notes for the gold because gold's hard to transport. They're going to start putting gold in the trusted bank accounts and then it's just going to build up. And then we just go, oh, you've got another fiat.
Can I just also highlight
that's
as well,
happened but many times over history.
The fiat currency, she also doesn't understand the fiat currency life cycles of what she's talking about there, because fiat currency, like on... not Druckenmiller, what's it called? On Ray Dalio's history of the currencies. And you see, we spoke about it a number of times on this podcast where you see the chart and it's the global reserve currency and how that overlaps. And what we're seeing is the US one starting to fail now. And that's what she's kind of saying in some respects, that the US one's failing and the US dollar and fiat is starting to fail. And then, but in theory, what we've seen in history is a different fiat currency will start to take over. So it was like, was it Netherlands and then pounds?
The most traded fiat becomes the global reserve.
Yeah.
So that as trading patterns change, that then becomes the fiat currency.
It was originally Netherlands, was it? Then it was UK, the pound. Then it was US with the dollar. And then
he's projected China.
China
is up there. I think it might have already overtaken it as the most traded currency.
It might with the whole BRICS thing at the minute. I don't know where that's at. I don't know. I think it's tiny still. I think we did
trade
look,
it.
We did
actually
look at this.
We'll trade in... The digital, the old yen.
We'd have to check the stats on that then, not sure.
I thought it already had.
But China's in a bit of a mess anyway at the minute, so whether that actually, this is like why Bitcoin timing-wise is a perfect time to come in. Not gold. It's not a perfect time for gold or silver to come in and try and play ball with something. But yeah, it's just, I don't even know where to start with a lot of this conversation. It's incredible.
But she is the perfect person to talk about Bitcoin. That other guy just said no one else.
Explain the basics of Bitcoin. What is Bitcoin?
This is her explanation about the basics of Bitcoin and what Bitcoin is. This is what she's about to tell us. Right? That's what
Oh, no, no, what she's already said was the perfect explanation.
She's already nailed it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that was why I was saying, who's this guy? This is nuts.
No one's seen this and fully understood. Oh, I know what Bitcoin's
about. I need to get somebody that is outside our industry to watch this and then give me their feedback.
Tell me what Bitcoin is.
Well, just tell me what they thought of that whole conversation. I'm genuinely curious to do that. We should do that.
Okay.
And try and grasp and see what the outside world are seeing of this.
Oh, we've got a minute of this left. Let's power through.
Yeah.
What is Bitcoin? Well, everyone talks about it being this decentralized currency. That's actually a misconception. It's a software that is centralized under a foundation. And
we're going to have to stop it.
It's not software. It's software. You're right. It's not software centralized under a foundation. There historically was a Bitcoin foundation. That ceased to exist. I don't know how many years ago now, a while ago. It didn't really do anything from probably about 2013 onwards, 2013, 14. It was kind of a thing a little bit, but it was dying out at that point. That was like, was it Brock Pierce, Roger Ver, all them sort of ones were kind of on that foundation in some way. But Bitcoin, for people listening, Bitcoin is a software and it's open source. So it means anyone can contribute to that. So I can contribute to it. Mikey can contribute. Dave can't because he's not very good at coding.
No. You'd have to get on GitHub.
Still trying to use the line GitHub's on the line. but anyone can contribute and update the code. And then it kind of, you get consensus between all the developers, between all the nodes and in the industry, the nodes being other people around the world running that software, for updates to come into that software. The foundation has literally, I don't think it exists anymore, to be quite honest, but it also has had nothing to do with Bitcoin for the last 10 years, realistically. So it's not a thing. There's no foundation or central body over Bitcoin in any way whatsoever. And so the developers that contribute to Bitcoin, to the software, there's, I think, over 1,000 now, maybe like 1,200 maybe, of people that have contributed to the Bitcoin core code over the years, over the last 13, 14 years. And they are dotted around all over the world in different capacities. Some are unpaid, some might be paid, some might be sponsored, some might work for a company and still do it. I've contributed before to it at small scale. So I'm one of the 1,200 the people that have contributed to it. Dave is not.
Not yet. I've had some good
I'm
ideas.
Just clarifying, you're not. But the contributors are all are people like, if her argument was this foundation is controlling it all, then 1,200 people control it. I'm one of them 1,200 people, and I can clarify and tell people I have no control over Bitcoin in any way whatsoever. So it is just a blatant lie.
Yeah, I just saying it's not decentralized is baffling.
Yeah.
It's Bitcoin 101.
It determines if Bitcoin has needs improvement protocols known as BIPs, and they're adapted under this software. So the individuals make the changes to how this software works. And this goes back to the mining, because now that we've been mining 10, 15 years, the rewards are just not there, and it's too costly and expensive. The electronic,
how do those two points connect?
I don't know. I have no idea.
The mining in any way, shape,
they
or
connect
form.
Because that's her sentence.
Right. I honestly can't figure that out. I don't understand what she is talking about. So she's talking about what I just explained with the software side, and then she's just said, and that connects to the mind. That doesn't have any.
Yeah, but there's some nuggets connection. Of truth. Like there are BIPs.
That was the software side.
So she sounds knowledgeable.
She's throwing acronyms.
99% of people wouldn't know about BIPs.
And then tying that in with mining, which has literally no.
She's read BIP
correlation
paper there.
You could see her looking down at a piece of paper.
They're just words that are getting thrown into a sentence that don't make sense.
Like saying that the miners are the developers as well, and the miners are the ones making the software changes. It's not.
It really focuses on the mining reward having halved, and that driving all miners out of
profitability. People are aware of the word halving at the minute,
and it's like capitalizing on that. She has never mentioned that it's happened before, and that the miners are perfectly fine.
I don't think she knows. Honestly, I don't honestly know if she knows any of this. She knows too little, but enough to be dangerous.
Mm.
head to run these mines. So there's really no point in running this. So this mathematical protocol, this, you know, equation that people are looking in as a store of value, well, this
must,
piece of digital
no
gold.
Point in well, doing it. They would have all stopped after the halving.
Can you just display the hash rate? Can we get the hash rate graph on this, please? Yeah. And have the all-time hash rate from like Coin Wars up, and you can see we're at pretty much all-time high hash rates. So the miners are continuing at an all-time high.
Are you saying that she's wrong?
I'm saying she's confused.
No, I think you'll find that all miners are about to stop.
She's slightly confused.
Yeah, I'm with her.
Yeah.
Pack this Bitcoin thing up. Let's just go home.
I assume it's just going to be the coin corner heaters.
Oh, we had a good run.
Whole hash rate. Yeah.
Good run.
Making $200,000 every 10 minutes. I'm happy for that. That's what people are throwing away. Like, it's just what planet?
No one took it seriously, but it's a mockery of the industry, I think. It's not a serious.
If you're in the industry, it's a mockery. Yeah. Mm. If you're outside the industry, do they believe everything she's saying?
To me, this is more of a mockery of mainstream media, but to the outside world, it's a mockery of Bitcoin, isn't it? It makes it look stupid, like irrelevant.
It makes it look like she's attacking it. Like, I don't know what she's pro. We know she's pro XRP and she's dropped the conference thing and stuff. She seems to be pro gold and silver as well. So she's going on there talking about it's meant to be. Is there any place in the future for crypto? And then she's talking about gold and silver, so she's effectively saying no, in some sense. Because she doesn't actually say, yeah, there is, it's XRP, does she, at any point?
She's basically saying the future is the past.
Yeah.
Let's go back to gold coins.
History repeats.
Yeah. Let's finish this off then.
That's just not true. Jennifer, nothing is going to replace real gold.
I'll have to jump in there just
because
I've run out of time.
And it's not decentralized. This is another myth, just wanting to make this clear. I mean, it's becoming more and more centralized every day. We see this with the Bitcoin ETF. The minute they created that, they created a market to short, or a product to short in the market. And that's
Jennifer, I just need to jump in just purely because I'm running out of time. Once again, you have frightened me about Bitcoin.
Great.
I come through, I go through highs and lows, but once again...
That's the viewers as well.
All the viewers will be like, oh yeah, me too.
She's just frightened me. Not about Bitcoin.
Change scares me. Technology scares me. I don't like Bitcoin. I'm a worried man.
She just is frightening.
Let's get back to gold and live in our caves.
Yeah, exactly. I understand gold. It's a metal.
It's a little bit like that.
If that scares you, where's your conviction? Don't deserve to be involved. See you in 10 years.
But people do expect to have people on the news who do know their stuff and
100%,
and
yeah.
There isn't almost that lack of a need to go into your own research.
But do you ever absorb any media without a cynical point of view going?
I don't know. No.
Now,
but
that's
before
now.
I started
no,
Coin Corner, I probably absolutely would have done
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I would never.
And
I'm out of the womb cynical.
But I think that's the point, Mike, is that now you don't because you've seen behind the curtain, if that makes sense. You see other, I mean, I have to take a second look almost at sometimes when I'm reading other news in other industries and I read it and I think, oh, I need to get the opposing view of this because I don't trust what it is. But it takes me a minute for my brain to click and say, okay, hang on, yeah, I'm reading this. Why am I trusting this? Why am I believing this? I'm going to go and read some opposing views. And I do that quite a lot now. Mm. And I do that on other industries that I'm not an expert in.
Yeah.
But a lot of people still won't. And that's took me years to kind of understand and grasp that and train my brain into thinking that. So I think we're not even a 1% of the population. We're talking like a 0.0001% of the population will be as cynical as what we are being here.
Yeah.
You have put the fear of God into me concerning Bitcoin.
good sound.
Good sound.
Right, yeah. Let's finish the pod there. Bloody hell.
Frustrating, I think, unfortunately. It's not the first, it's not the last we'll see of people on mainstream news talking about Bitcoin and talking in a uneducated way. Let's just leave it at that.
Let's get off her.
Yeah.
Giving her too much screen time already, haven't we?
Yeah.
She'll come round. Okay. Robin Hood gets Wells notice from the SEC.
Yeah, this is again just crypto versus Bitcoin style thing. So I think it's for all the crypto tokens, should we call it, that they've got, which the SEC are saying are securities. So it's just another securities law. I think we saw Kraken, something on Kraken last night as well. Some of they're pulling out of New York for
I was trying to find that this morning, but I couldn't find anyone verifying except that original. And all the newspaper, all the news people quoting it, just saying, one user on X seen has that. Said yeah. this, yeah. and it's like
they're cracking them knocking them out.
They're not even naming the user on X. They're saying per a user on X, yeah, cracking so us, shutting down.
That services. User could just be anyone saying anything, and they're just going, right. It's, that's happened.
Shutting down, and it's an impact of a yeah.
But this is the SEC individual have company. Put that notice to them. But do you yeah. think we might see a raft of delisting, or do you think they'll just move jurisdictions?
Robin Hood won't move because they're a public company, aren't they? So I don't think they're going to move. I mean, they've been hit left, right. They've been how they're still going is beyond me after the whole GameStop incident.
Yeah. What's that GameStop film?
Stupid money, dumb money.
Stupid dumb money.
Dumb money.
It's a good film,
they were really...
but I don't know their...
The interpretation of Robin Hood on that film is hilarious. Yeah.
But how that's still going is crazy anyway. But then, yeah, obviously this. I think there's just going to be... that's 2015.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like... apparently they pulled that in New York a long time ago.
Yeah, so Kraken pulled that in New York in 2015. We're just catching up now.
Right.
That was when the bit license came in New York, I think.
But I think, yeah, they can't do any crypto assets in New York, can they? I think.
You've got to have the bit license, and there's only a handful that have got it, and then there's restrictions, there's all sorts. Yeah, it's not the best state to operate in.
It's what you're trading on Wall Street instead.
Yeah, so they can go and buy Bitcoin on the ETF now rather than on there. But I think, yeah, Robinhood, they're going to fight it in court, I'm sure, similar to Kraken have had to, similar to Coinbase have having to. Yeah, we're just going to have to wait and see what the outcome of these are as to whether these tokens are securities. And then, yeah, if they're securities, they'll have to be delisted in theory, or they'll have to go through a different
process. They'll pay a big fine and delist them, would be my suggestion.
Would be my guess, yeah.
Probably what ends up happening.
And the thing as well is Robinhood...
Actually, the SEC haven't got a great run track record in court, have they?
No. But Robin, because they've not got the money and the lawyers that the guys have got.
The taxpayer in America must be like, oh.
Yeah, here we go again.
Is that coming out of my pocket?
Yeah, unfortunately, they probably will, yeah. But Robinhood won't care, like the delisting aspects of it. So say one of them get declared a security, they're going to look at that token, say, what's the volume? What revenue have we made off that token? Is it worth bothering with, or just get rid of it? They'll just get rid of it. They have no loyalty to any of these tokens. They are just money makers for them. That's all it is. So they will drop them and run to save their own ass.
However, it's probably where they make a substantial portion of
crypto trading is.
So all that's like even getting paid to list would be probably a chunk of revenue for them.
Don't think that Robinhood would be allowed, because that would be manipulation and stuff, wouldn't it, I think. So that would be or some sort of, because they're a public company, aren't they? So they're going
to
be
restrictive.
I doubt it. I don't think that would be a thing for them.
Maybe.
They also don't say meme tokens.
But either way, it's not great news for Robinhood.
It's terrible for them.
Not good luck.
I wonder what happened to their share price then.
No, don't know. It did. It went down, yeah, because there was some tweets about that, I think, at that point.
Month? When did that happen? It doesn't look like it's been massively impacted.
It doesn't seem.
I thought I saw someone say, unless it was that little spike down, that little drop.
This one.
Then it's recovered.
My third of me.
Don't know.
Okay. So the market's not worried?
No. I think it's one of them where when things like this happen, when the FBI, the SEC, when the SEC first sued someone, the Bitcoin price plummeted. But now it's happening so many times in so many different places, it becomes immune to it over time. And the Bitcoin price has not even budged on all the crap we've had this week, really. Actually, the price has gone up from 57,000 to 62,000 in the time we've had the Samurai arrest, the Wasabi shutdown, the Phoenix pullout, the Wells notice for these guys. It's like there's loads of stuff, and the price has gone from 57 up to 62. So it's reacted in a completely, it's not correlated in any way whatsoever now. It's becoming immune to it now.
Okay. Yeah. Right, last point. On a high, Bitcoin reaches 1 billion transactions.
It's pretty significant.
Pretty momentous. Momentum.
I wonder who had the 1 billionth transaction.
Oh, I don't know. That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Be up to an NFT soon or a rune.
Yeah. I want to buy it.
Screenshot of the transaction.
Cool.
That's nice.
But yeah.
Nothing more than that.
A little bit of positive news to end on.
Yep.
We did receive one near Dave, actually. Not so much a question, but I guess we can expand on it. So I said, I'm reading a few stories of Kraken and Revolut asking a lot of questions about cold storage wallets. Not sure if this is related to FATFA and the travel rule. Seems a bit intrusive.
I don't know, because I don't know what they're asking, so I don't know what we would have to see what their question is. Oh, it's Dave. Dear Dave, anyway, sorry, I'm answering.
Yeah, I don't know. I've not seen what they're asking. I'll have to see what they're asking before I can answer that one. I have not seen what the questions are asking about cold storage, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I've seen tweets about them like sending out emails when people are trying to send out to a cold wallet. Like, a quick couple questions.
Yeah, so they're just verifying it's a cold wallet or some sort of storage.
I haven't seen anything about them stopping funds going out, just that they're getting slightly interrogating clients.
Yeah. Right.
But, yeah.
Is what it is. I think that, yes, regulation will squeeze on certain things like that. The travel rule is anything over $1,000. Well, it can vary in different places, but on, let's say, average $1,000. So you'd need to know if it's going to cold storage, for example, over $1,000. So yes, that will, regulation will be making an impact. Taking a step back and saying, yes, companies will be doing that potentially for regulation, but taking that step back, companies are also doing that. We do that to protect customers.
But it's only $1,000 to another VASP, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so the cold storage is...
If they say we're going to cold storage, then they should allow, and it sits theoretically outside the travel rule in terms of it's not VASP to VASP.
But they just need to know.
VASP being a Bitcoin exchange, crypto exchange. But the sending out to cold storage from Coin Corner perspective, we may still ask questions if you've, for various reasons, obviously within your account, if it's an unusual activity, if it's a large transaction, if it's like, we're doing that not for regulatory purposes, we're doing that to protect the consumer. So we're genuinely doing that to say, and we don't, it might be annoying to some people, but we do that to make sure it is them sending that transaction, for one. We do that to make sure, if we're saying, are you sending it to cold storage, we genuinely do have had people in the past say, yeah, I'm sending it to cold storage, and they're being scammed by somebody and sending it to someone.
Scams,
and
like,
unfortunately, yeah, we've caught a lot of them over time, and we've helped people save a lot of money by catching
funds,
them.
Yeah.
It might be annoying to some people, and appreciate that, but unfortunately, I'd rather help them people that are getting scammed than maybe irritate some other people. But most of our customers, I think, find it quite comforting that we do that anyway, as a positive thing, and know that we're not doing it for our own interest and for our own data collection in any way. We're doing it for the customer, to genuinely help them or to protect them, which I think is rare. I don't think other people will be doing that. I think they'll be doing it based off regulations for different criterias.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
That's it then. That's the pod. It's a wrap.
Cool.
Sweet.
Thanks, guys. Right.
Very good.
Peace.
Cheerio.